few months back, Vogue magazine asked me to join a group of women for a simple project: write letters to our younger selves. What would we want those greener versions of ourselves to know? So, as a 40-something now, I wrote a letter to my 20-something self about enjoying that moment, recognizing the extraordinary time I was living in then, and drinking a little less wine. And since that letter, I've been thinking a lot about what being post-40 today means for my own life. Hollywood would still like to have us believe that women over 40 are past their prime, but I have two women here with me who are themselves very strong evidence to the contrary. Both have contributed essays to a new collection by 15 different authors called On Being 40-ish. Jill Kargman is an author and creator of the Bravo TV series Odd Mom Out, which aired for 3 seasons starting in 2015, and she's in her mid-40s. Jill, welcome to The Takeaway.
Thank you.
And Sophronia Scott is a writer in her mid-50s. Welcome to The Takeaway.
Thank you.
All right. So we can have a real honest conversation here. Ladies, it's about time. I say that this decade is sort of one where you sort of, I don't know, you kind of come into a different sense of yourself. Jill, tell me about
it. I agree. And when I read the essay collection, we all come from such different backgrounds and geographies. And the one thread that really linked everybody is that you just don't sweat the small stuff at this point. We've learned that it's just a waste of time and you're moving forward and not stressing as much. I feel way calmer now than I did in my 20s.
Well, and there's also a sense of, I mean, you started a new career.
That's right. I was like, now I'm 39 and I'm going to be an actress with cellulite and stretch marks after 3 kids.
Which is like, whoa.
I never could have done it in my early 20s. I think that kind of scrutiny during your formative years would have probably cracked me, whereas now I just don't care.
Mm-hmm. So, Sophronia, now I read your chapter in the book and I thought I really understood the line when you said, I don't have time for this.
Yes.
Tell me how time changes when you hit 40 and move on.
Well, it's like Jill was saying, you don't sweat the small stuff, but you also know that you focus on what's important and you don't have time for energy that isn't yours, for worries that aren't yours. And you're more aware, for me anyway, more aware of my gifts. And I need to focus on my family. I need to focus on my gifts.
And it's interesting because you talk a little bit about how what it took for you to pursue your writing as an older writer.
Yeah. You know, I was a journalist. You know, I worked for Time and People magazines. But it took me a long time to learn what I wanted to write for myself. And
that's a shocking. I mean, right there, that's for yourself.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. To develop my own voice. And even then, I wasn't focused on it truly until my sister died. One of my sisters died. And she was not even a year younger than myself. And she died at the age of 43.
Wow.
And I said, this has to stop. I have no idea what time I have left here. So I need to get to work.
Jill, I want to, that's a powerful thing. I think a lot of us, you know, I always say you're fortunate if you've reached your 40s, right? Because mm-hmm. so many people don't have the opportunity to do that. Jill, you know, I had to write this letter to my 20-something-year-old self in Vogue. 44 versus 24. You talk about this idea in your essay of a funnel. Tell us about that.
I feel like when you're younger, there are all these opportunities. And when you're a little kid, of course, they can say they want to be anything and you feel like they maybe could. And then as you get older, you go down the funnel. So maybe, you know, you hit a certain age and you can't go to medical school as easily or whatever. So like the gates start to close and people start to say, okay, is this all there is? What else? I can't just like radically shake the Etch-a-Sketch. And I feel like you actually can, and things have changed. And, you know, whatever they say, like 40 is the new 30, and I don't know, 80 is the new 60, and 100 is the new dead. So
is that like, right?
Everything has shifted. The yardstick has shifted. So I feel like you're not as trapped in the funnel as you may have thought. And, you know, I would so much rather be 44 than 24. The mystery, all the question marks about what the future holds now when you're sort of more wasted deep in it. I appreciate the security of the funnel a bit instead of just like, what is this leading to? You know, we all have to pay our dues, but you never know how that will get you out.
And they don't end now. Like, I think a lot of what I hear when I talk to younger workers, I mean, just the fact that we're having this conversation on national radio, ladies, is a big deal because saying these ages are not exactly, you know, this was never seen as a positive. Do you think it's a positive, Sophronia?
That we're at this age.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. And that we're seen as something more positive, that we're not seen as this, like, you know.
Right. We have a tremendous amount of wisdom to share. And I, you know, we were just talking, Jill and I, about reading Michelle Obama's book.
So good.
And just so excited about the wisdom present and to show up in the world in a certain way and to know that people can, that we can share that and people can absorb that and know that everything's going to be okay on a certain level.
How do you think the being 40 or 40-ish or in your 40s has shifted, particularly for women, over the past couple decades?
I think there's more empowerment, right? That there's not a sense that it's over, right? And we're invisible. I think we're owning our bodies, we're becoming more appreciative of the way we look, and that we're taking ownership of our gifts and moving toward fulfilling them.
Jill, what do you think? I mean, what's the biggest shift you've seen?
I think the generation gap has closed a lot, because 44 felt really old when I was younger. And now I don't think my 16-year-old sees me as old. I think, like, you know, you're listening to more of the same music. You're having different conversations. People are younger now than they used to be. It just used to, I don't know. I remember feeling like my grandparents were so old. And my parents, my kids don't think my parents are that old.
Right. Mm-hmm. You wouldn't picture your mom a few years ago in a spin class.
That's right.
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 But then also, I mean, I'm wondering, let's be honest. I mean, there are some difficult things about this decade as well. I know that.
But it's less difficult when people are sharing it. So like, my mom said no one talked about menopause when she was going through it. Now a lot of people are talking about it. There's just less, you know, mystery and people behind the curtains trying to shroud their beauty and beauty secrets and all that stuff is now way more open.
But I think you're talking about the loss. Right.
Well, I'm also talking about the other stuff, right? Yeah. There's a conversation, I think, that also happens where there's this great conversation happening about us being in our 40s and saying, okay, these are all the new ways. We're at spin class. We're looking great. We don't care as much. You know, there's a certain freedom, but there's also a heaviness that can come, you know, with this decade, I think.
Yeah, the heaviness for me anyway comes from the loss of friends, right? So a very dear friend of mine died last year. The man who took my author photos died in December. Just that loss is heartbreaking. And I'm thinking about how do I take on this loss but not lose a sense of joy? How do I mourn without, because I know this is going to keep happening, right?
Well, one thing they say too is that as people get older, they get happier.
They get happier.
That's
I believe
been,
that.
I think so. I mean, they say we reach this, you know, sort of lull around this age in our 40s, and then we sort of get happier as we go on.
I can see that, because I'm reaching for, it's like a feeling of childhood again, right? To appreciate the feeling of laughter. And I feel like that's going to keep coming as I get older more and more.
Jill, what do you think?
Someone had told me that the Buddha said the happiest people think of death three times a day. And I guess the older you think of it and you're losing friends or caregiving for your ailing parents or whatever it is, you're very aware of your mortality. And so you're going to kind of seize the day more.
Yes. Suddenly things don't become, they don't have that. Well, they do take on a certain weight. And hopefully the idea is that we give that weight where it's needed.
Yes.
So I'll ask both of you the same question I was asked when Vogue asked me. Writing to yourself 20 years prior, if you had something to say, there's one piece of advice that you would give your 20-something-year-old self, do you know what that would be? With the hindsight you have now in your 40s.
I would say put on that crocodile skin. It just don't be so insensitive. Don't take things as personally. I always hated that phrase, but it's kind of true. Like now I have such thick skin and things don't bother me as much. I mean, people on Twitter, when I first got on TV, were saying like, she looks like Marilyn Manson threw up on her or whatever. And
oh
I just,
God.
You know, it stings for a second, but I really don't care now. Like I really truly don't. And I think it just would have been so, it would have destroyed me at a young age.
Yeah. I would tell myself to take more risks because, you know, and I said, I worked at Timing for 15 years and I was at that place where everyone is supposed to work to get there. And I didn't know how to give it up when I realized I wanted to do something else. So I would have jumped sooner, I think.
I need to brag for Sophronia. She was part of the team that did the original Generation X cover of Time Magazine story. At 24.
20-something, yes.
As I mentioned in the introduction, no one cares about Generation X, so I'm thrilled that we're having this conversation. I say that, you know, wryly, of course, but I do mean part of it.
Love Gen X.
I think we were an important thing here. As far as, I'm wondering, how do we, what do, when I look at women, younger women today who are trying to navigate, and they look at where we're sitting, and they say, all the success and all the things, and it feels like, I don't know if it's easier for younger women today. And what I mean by that is I feel like the list has just gotten bigger. Like the list of things that women, young women feel they have to accomplish by a certain age has gotten even longer. So now it's, you know, children, the big job, the big education, the big degree, the house, all of this pressure. And I'm wondering, is that different from when we were in our 20s?
Yes, there's that pernicious side of social media that gives you this keyhole into people's seemingly perfect lives, but it's all artifice and filters and, you know, a snapshot of things that's highly curated, and we didn't have that keyhole into other people's lives as much.
Yeah, and I also think there's the focus on youth. Right, that you're truly considered successful if, you know, like 35, under 35, right? Mm-hmm. We have so many of those lists. So if you're going to have meaningful success, that you need to have it in your 20s and 30s. I think that is really hard.
Yeah, and I think that one of the things that I try to advise younger women on is, like, you don't have to get you may not get it all by the time you're 30, right? I know that personally, and that's okay. But that's a hard thing for a lot of people to swallow. It's a very goal-oriented society we live in. Social media, Jill, as you mentioned, has sort of added to the pressure, and I feel like there's all of this, you know, I have to do this all before I'm 30.
Yeah.
And I often want to, you know, don't want to burst any bubbles, but you might not. And that's okay.
Yeah, it's a marathon and not a sprint. And I have a sprinter's personality, so that was a hard thing for me to swallow. But it shakes out later. You know, it's all an investment. You might not realize what the seeds you're planting are going to yield, but they might grow later.
Yeah, exactly. You know, I sometimes would think, well, should I have tried to have children earlier? You know, I have one son, and I didn't have a child until I was 38. But looking back on it now, I really don't think I would be the mom that I was then. I have such an empowered, calm sense of my motherhood that I don't think I would have had in my 20s.
Mm-hmm. I hear that a lot from people too. And I think, you know, you sort of going through these things in your 30s and heading into your 40s is what also, I think, brings us this sense of calm or this sense of strength.
Yeah.
Yeah. Totally.
All right. Jill Kargman is the author and creator of the Bravo TV series Odd Mom Out, and Sophronia Scott is a writer. Thanks to you both for joining me.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Hi, my name is Liz Ritter. I'm calling from New York City. As a woman in my 50s, I feel, I don't know, a little more invisible than I did when I was in my 20s, but frankly, it's kind of liberating. I really don't give a, well, I can't say that on the air, but I don't care what people think, and it gives me the opportunity to focus on what's important rather than being concerned about what other people think.
Angela from Duncan, South Carolina. At 50 years old, I find myself divorcing for the second time. This time it was 22 years. I tried exceptionally hard to make it work. We both did. If I would have been honest with myself 23 years ago, it would have saved us a lot of trouble. I wanted him to be my partner because I didn't have a partner, not because he was the right partner.
This is Kelly from Tampa, Florida. I wish I knew then that our stomach does not lie, our hearts sentimentalize, and our brains rationalize, but our stomach is really our most honest friend. There are times that it raised red flags that I suppressed, and I sure wish that I had not. We owe nobody politeness when our security feels threatened, and it is okay to not make everything look effortless. The days are very long, but the years are feel like they're becoming shorter. And I really appreciate being exempted from always having to be on, which was a pressure I definitely felt as a young woman. I'm learning that I like myself a little more, and getting rattled over foolishness is just that. And I wish I knew it a long time ago.
Hi, this is Anna from Seattle. I would say to my 20-year-old self, not to lose my optimism and confidence, not to let other people's concepts of who I should be dictate my actions, and to leave my first marriage at least 5 years earlier. Your life is yours to live, and if something does not bring you joy, let it go.
We'd love for you to join the conversation, so give us a call at 877-8-MY-TAKE and tell us about how your perspective on life changed after 40.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing. Or
politics.
Country music.
Hockey.
Sex. Of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.